Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night!
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, to this edition, the 180th edition of Dave's Gone By on this July 16th, 2006. Great to be here, especially after a week like we've all had. And, we'll just get into a whole bunch of stuff today. But I'm just so happy to get through this day, to get through this week, and to be here at 11 o'clock at night on WGBB AM 1240 and live streaming on the web and AM 1240 WGBB.com. Because Dave's Gone By, which I've been doing on this station for 3.5 years, is an hour of talk and comedy and music and interviews, all sorts of cool and fun stuff. So stick around. If you've never heard the show before, or if you've heard the show 179 times before, whichever, welcome. And I want to welcome and thank our sponsors, as always, of this show that keeps us going. Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway, where Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off. Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. It's the Bible of Broadway, but it also includes off-Broadway, off-off, cabaret, dance, all sorts of stuff. You'll hear more about that later. And MortgagesRock.com. It's a website that tells you, not just, you don't just go there to get a mortgage. You go there to learn how mortgages are done so you can help your friends and neighbors and coworkers and relatives and dead people, whoever, who needs to get money to pay for something. You can show them how to do it, help them do it. It's basically paperwork. And then you get the commission. You share that commission with MortgagesRock.com, and everybody's happy. Licensed in New York State and also in a whole bunch of other states in the union, MortgagesRock.com is not just a website. They have offices. They have people on the phone who can help you. But check the website first. It's the first place to go. MortgagesRock.com, because making money never sounded so good. And speaking of good sounds, got to give shout-outs to some other folks. Joyce Keller, who has a program, a long-running program, on this station. Wednesday nights at 11, she's the radio psychic, and has been on here, I think, almost 2 decades now. She's a supporter of this show, so I will support her. Joyce Keller, Wednesday nights at 11. And Vic Fusco, he has 2 shows on Sunday night. 1 at 6, which is a country music show, if you like that. And 9 o'clock, which is a swing music show, if you like that. Again, both on AM 1240 WGBB, and both hosted by a very good fella, Vic Fusco. Okay, and one of the things I wanted to talk about on this show, I've got quite a bit to get to, some comedy, some sad stuff too, but wanted to mention last week's program was kind of a prep for what I was taking part in at a very different radio station, because I finally got on the air at a station I've been sort of nosing around and circling around and flirting with much further out on the island and up north, WUSB, which is a very cool station. It comes out of Stony Brook University, and unlike some of the more commercial college stations, which really shouldn't even be called college stations for the most part, places like WFUV or to an extent WKCR that may do really good music and sound really professional, but they do because most of the people there are professionals. They're people from the commercial radio world in the 1970s and 80s who got frozen out by all the radio consolidation or the way just radio stations change formats, and they found that after years on the air, they had their walk-in papers. Well, where do they go? Freeform radio and college radio. So, you know, unfortunately, to an extent, what that does, and I feel bad for the kids who go to these colleges, because here they are, you know, if they want to be in media, if they want to get a taste of doing media, and yet they go to the radio station of that college, and it's filled with people who are 50, 60 years old, been doing radio for years, and all they can basically do is either get coffee or do the weather. But, USB is a little different. And they've got people, older people, people in the community who do shows, but it's also opened quite a bit to students to do all kinds of stuff. So there's four techno radio shows, and they had a reggae-thon a couple of weeks ago, and they do a lot of reggaeton. Plus, they get some older folks doing folk and folk rock and blues and the stuff that I like. And my first assault into the station, as it were, was being able to do the Blues Marathon last Monday night. Hope you all got a chance to hear it. I was a little nervous at first because it was my first turn at that place and with their equipment. I did some practicing on their little Studio B area, but actually going up live, getting in front of equipment that's actually older than the stuff here at GBB was kind of something. And first of all, I thanked him on the air, and I want to thank a fellow named Spaceman Spiff. What can I tell you? That's the name he chose. But a really nice guy named, actually his name is John Peters, but he goes under the radio name Spaceman Spiff. He did the shift before me, and normally he does electronica and techno kind of music, but he said, hey, look, I'll do the Blues Marathon. Why not? I like all kinds of music. He played some terrific stuff, everything from Jimi Hendrix to Little Walter, and stayed through a good part of my shift just to make sure I knew what I was doing, just to help out, give me some moral support. And that was really totally him, just being a nice guy. Yes, there are some actual nice people left in the world. So that was neat. And then I got on the air. I spoke a little bit nervously, started rolling the songs, some of the original songs, and had a blast. The nervousness, as it tends to do, went away by the time my second time on mic. I was like, okay, I'm here, I'm ready to go, I know what I'm doing, and ready to give you music and have a fabulous time, and I did. And I got phone calls, and people liked the show, and then someone actually liked one of my songs, which I was really staggered by, because you never know when you're introducing something, and you put it out there, and you figure, okay, it's going to offend one segment of the population, and another segment of the population is going to think it's really sick and tasteless, and or they're just going to be bored by it or find it amateurish. And then someone actually bothers to call in and say, hey, that was funny. Who did that song? Which was really cool to hear because I was playing the guitar on it. My guitar skills are somewhere between rudimentary and horrific. So thank you, caller. Thank you for liking my song. And then thanks to everybody who called in. The cool thing is, here I'm telling you about this show that was on another station that you missed last Monday. Well, you can hear it if you go to my website, davesgoneby.org. There's a link to the WUSB website where they're archiving the whole Blues Marathon. So we've got like 3.5 days of just pure blues music programmed by all different kinds of people. My shift was last Monday from 6 to 8 o'clock at night. So just go to the website, davesgoneby.org, click, and you can listen online to my whole shift. You'll hear the one or two mistakes I've made. You'll hear the six songs that I sang, and sang last week on this program, and just my mix of music and stuff. So if you like, go give a listen. Oh, and I also, one other thing about the website, I put on old interviews that I was on the Mike Shamiri show. Now, he's a fella who had a program on WGBB last year. It was kind of modern instrumental-ish jazz, really not my kind of music. Chuck Mangione sort of, not John Zorni, but like that horn guy, Kenny G stuff from like Spyro Gyra, keep that away from me. But a very nice fella. And he's doing more of a talk show on a different station. I think it's WCWP over at CW Post. And he's had me on a few times as a guest, and he has downloaded that to his site. So I've linked to his site. So you can hear me on the Mike Shamiri show of a couple of different hours that I did over the past 3 years. So lots of different plugs, but now if you actually go to my website, there's hours of sounds for you to listen to, which is kind of neat to be able to direct people and have them hear more stuff. But what you've come to now on your radio dials is to hear me now talk about other stuff, not what I've already done in the past. So let me tell you about the content of this episode, this 180-degree episode of Dave's Gone By. We're going to get to the news gone by after a couple of commercials. That's a goofy, zany look at the world and current events and news. And God knows, this week has been a total... I mean, lunatics have been running the world this week, let's face it. And also some sad stuff. Red Buttons died, and I want to do a little bit of a tribute to him, including another original song. I thought as a tribute to Red Buttons, I would do a new ho-ho song, Stranger Things Are Happening. That was kind of his signature tune. Also do a little bit of a tribute to Barnard Hughes, and hopefully my good friend Jeff Goodman, who's been on a few episodes recently, will stop in by then, and we can talk a little bit. And then towards the end of the show, some actual personal sad news. Had a death, not in the immediate family, but lost a cousin who was really, really a very special person. I want to say a nice goodbye to her, my cousin Karen. So all that tonight on Dave's Gone By. See, from comedy to zinginess to music, that's what we do. That's why I'm here. That's what it's all about. And it all stems from you listening, from me being here, and our beloved sponsors doing their commercials. Be right back. $15 an issue sounds like a lot to spend for a theater magazine, but what if every issue of that magazine were jam-packed with information, like what shows are bound for Broadway, what big stars are in town, and what shows on and off Broadway are worth seeing? What if there was a whole calendar of dance, opera, and cabaret? And what if every issue had more theater information than the New York Times, Variety, and The Hollywood Reporter put together? $15 sounds more reasonable, right? But guess what? A full year of Performing Arts Insider costs less than $14 an issue, and Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off the subscription price, meaning you would pay just $12 an issue for all the listings, rumors, reviews, and more in Performing Arts Insider. TogoTheater.com has all the details, or call 516-295-1511 and ask about the theater magazine the professionals use and theatergoers love. Performing Arts Insider.
My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good for a laugh.
Boy, rarely has that been truer. The news is all bad, but it's good for a laugh. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. Time for the news gone by, a look at world and local events of the past week from a 180-degree angle. It's been a hell of a week. The Middle East is boiling over. Trains are exploding in Bombay. A tornado hits Westchester. And then a building blows up in New York. And that's not even terrorism. And it's amazing how jaded we've become, too. Like, 9/11 happens, and we're still obsessed with it. You know, we're on eggshells about it, especially with the 5th anniversary coming up. And that's probably as it should be. And yet, here's an East Side townhouse. It explodes in the middle of the day. And the second people find out that it was, oh, just some doctor upset about his divorce, it's, oh, okay, building exploded. Let's get the sports and weather. I mean, no one died, thank God. Actually, the guy who blew it up died this afternoon, but otherwise nobody else got hurt. Not even, you know. And then the firemen came in. I guess this was already about a week ago. And it seemed like the guy was committing suicide, except, yes, of course, he was pleading, save me, get me out of here. All of this so that he wouldn't have to give up his townhouse in his divorce. Now, how much do you have to hate your ex-wife to blow up an apartment? I mean, not her apartment, that's an easy one, but the one that you're living in. All I know is that every prenup Christie Brinkley signs from now on should have a no-matches clause. And there's another ugly divorce, number 4 for the cover girl model. Now, remember when we all looked at Billy Joel and we went, well, is he nuts? He's married to a girl who looks like that and has money, a career, she's got a gravity-defying figure, and he lets her go? He must be even drunker than he looks. But then, it's like 2 more husbands later, and you gotta wonder, what kind of evil is she into? I mean, I know her boyfriend, apparently, or her husband's kind of going for this young teenage girl thing, but still, is there a portrait in Christie Brinkley's closet that looks like Madeleine Albright? It would be cool if Christie marries Paul McCartney, though. Because, you know, the day after their wedding, they're going to check their bank accounts and realize that after alimony, they've got $68.48 between them. Oh, and speaking of $68, do you remember a year ago when that sounded like an outrageous price to pay for a barrel of oil. Well, late last week, prices for light sweet crude topped $78 a barrel, a new high. I've got my friend Jeff Goodman just came into the studio. Hey, Jeff, thanks so much. And he brought Slurpee kind of frosty things from Wendy's. It's not frosty, he says. No, it's not. So it went to 78, Jeff, and then went back down to 77. He has oil signs now. Anyway, blame a combination of troubles in the Middle East and explosions hitting two pipelines in Nigeria. That, and the fact that oil companies have to do something if they want to top the record profits from last year. And as for the whole Israel crisis, wow, how did that get out of control so quick? I mean, things went from business as usual. We hardly even heard about suicide bombers anymore, maybe because they built that fence, to nearly all-out war over there. And here's what I don't get. Like, an Arab extremist goes into a Jerusalem cafe or a disco in Haifa, and he straps a bomb on his back and kills half a dozen people. Israel responds by trying to find a Hamas leader or two and rub them out. Fine, and they round up people and take them prisoner. It's been that way for years. This time, two Israeli soldiers are kidnapped. Not civilians, soldiers. And they're just kidnapped, presumably not killed, or one hopes, not tortured. Yet, for this, Israel goes ballistic. They go after Hezbollah by bombing Lebanon, blasting the airport, blockading all of Beirut. I thought the problem was Palestinian terrorists. When did it become about Lebanon again? Now, meanwhile, Iran says to Israel, don't you dare attack Syria. Syria? How did Syria get into this? How did Iran get into this? I mean, yes, Hezbollah is backed by those two countries. Lebanon? The Lebanese government is anti-Syria and trying to control Hezbollah. Well, by trying, I mean to say failing. But what's been up with all this side direction? A multinational guerrilla group takes hostages and Israel attacks Lebanon. The World Trade Center is blown up by a group of militant Saudi Arabians and President Bush attacks Iraq. North Korea tests middle and long-range nuclear weapons, and we step up border patrols along Mexico. Does anybody in government actually own a friggin' map? I'll tell you this. Next time somebody is rude to me at the grocery store, I'm going to walk right out, go to the nearest barber shop, and punch the owner in the nose. That'll show him. In legal news, a 61-year-old German man was on trial last week in Berlin for being a thief. When the judge recessed for lunch, his honor realized his keys were missing. Court officials confronted the defendant in the bathroom where they found him trying to hide the judge's keys under a toilet brush. They said the guy was such an inveterate criminal, he probably stole from the judge intuitively without even thinking about it. And the great part is, now the trial is suspended and the judge has to recuse himself because he's biased. So remember, folks, if your trial isn't going well, an angry judge can be your best friend. And in rather ghoulish news, Italian scientists have dug up the bones of 18th century opera singer Farinelli. Now, the goal, to find out more about the health and lifestyle of a castrato. Until his death in 1782, Farinelli was Europe's most popular ultra-soprano opera singer. He was very tall, and researchers are curious as to whether his bone structure contributed to his vocal sound. Now, the shock in opening the coffin was that buried in the same box next to Farinelli was his grandniece, who died 70 years later. Alas, not only did having the woman stuffed in the box next to him degrade the preservation of Farinelli's remains, it also drove both corpses nuts because, you know, she was hot, and there was some foreplay, but then, oh crap. In animal news, Australian inventor Andrew Larkey is busy trying to market his new product, Aquadog. It's bottled water for dogs in three delicious flavors, chicken, beef, and bacon. Larkey says he got the idea because the two fastest-growing industries have been human bottled water and high-end pet supplies. Also, he touts the beverage's health benefits by saying that dogs tend to drink only when they're already dehydrated. having tasty flavored water will encourage them to replenish fluids all day. And another side benefit is that after a Doberman or a Shepherd comes back from a long run, they look really cool leaning against the fire hydrant and kicking back with a squeeze bottle. Now, Jeff, I have to ask you a special favor, not on the air, but I have forgotten, and this is exciting, I haven't done this in so long, I forgot to prepare for it. Pretty soon, we have the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week coming, and I'm going to need my comedy bell. Now, the comedy bell is located in my drawer, which I can't get because I'm on mic. Would you mind, here, I'm going to put you on, here we go.
You want me to go through your drawers?
Yeah. Well, yes, once again, but differently this time.
anytime.
Grab the special bell from my drawer. This is an honor. This is like asking an altar boy to go find the chalice before the priest gives him oral sex. So Jeff is walking. He's preparing himself to get to the comedy bell. It's the lower left. He's doing a special comedy bell dance, ladies and gentlemen. It's left side. No, this drawer, the one here. Second drawer from the bottom. And you will see it. It's a beautiful thing. It's like a... Yes. See that green and orange thing? He's lifting it, ladies and gentlemen. We are preparing...
Lovely
caramel. That's right. From... What is it? The Price is Right? Where they have that... Oh, no. What's that show? Truth for
Consequences.
Oh, the comedy bell is in my hands now. I feel so much better. Thank you, Jeff.
May close the drawer?
Jeff may close the drawer. It's like closing the Ark of the Covenant. we're going back to our services now on Dave's Gone By. Exciting news for rock fans. For the first time in 25 years, The Who is going back on a major tour.
Who?
Roger Daltrey, that's right, Who, Pete Townsend, Ringo's kid, Zach Starkey is playing the drums, and the band promises to play old favorites and rarities, answering queries as to whether the group is, well, a little long in the tooth for a world tour at this point. Townsend said, quote, "Roger and I are both fit and well and ready to rock," unquote. They are, however, changing their songs a little bit to reflect their advancing years. For example, songs in the current Who set list include I Can't Explain, because I've forgotten what I said, Who Are You, or better yet, Who Am I Can See for Miles, with my bifocals, Magic Bus to the Community Center, See Me, Feel Me, Am I Dead, Won't Get Fooled Again After That Last Real Estate Scam, Squeeze Box, which is now simply called Prostate, 5:15, Time for My Pill, My Generation is Mostly Dead, and Anyway, Anyhow, Anywhere, which is now titled The Pea Song. Also in rock news, Pete Doherty told the judge this week he really, really wants to clean up. The lead singer of Baby Shambles has been in and out of rehabs and lockups and is still testing positive for drugs in his system. So Doherty told the judge he's getting a chemical implant put in his abdomen to help him kick the habit. Now, I'm not sure how the judge responded, but it sounds like genius to me. He's going to keep a barrage of drugs out of his system by putting a barrage of drugs in his system. You know, I'm going to try that one time with my bank. I'm going to go in and say, guys, I promise not to overdraft my account if you'll give me money to put into my account to cover the overage. I love it. Speaking of finances, the folks at Goldman Sachs Group are pretty riled up over a Dutch website that contains adult material. The site is called GoldmanSex.com, S-E-X. I'll give you a moment to go Googling right now. GoldmanSex.com, there you go. Which sounds a little too close to GoldmanSachs.com for their liking. So they're suing the founder, Rob Mueller, to make him cease and desist. For his part, Mueller says he had never heard of Goldman Sachs till recently. And besides, who would confuse an investment bank with a website for strip clubs and escort services besides Kenneth Lay and Jeff Goodman? Oh, Jeff Goodman wants to be on mic for a moment. Yeah, Jeff?
I think I'm going to start a new website for saxophone enthusiasts called Goldman Sachs. Do you think they'll sue me then?
Only if you play really, really badly.
That's what I'm going to do.
If you do it like Ornette Coleman.
I'll have the Clinton saxophone all over it. It'll be Goldman Sachs.
Cute. Very cute.
Or you could have Goldman Sucks.
I'm going to finish my joke now.
Okay.
Not bad. Not bad, though.
Love you, Dave.
No, it was cute. It was amusing. I liked it. Goldman Sachs. I get it. Saxophone. Okay.
It sounds more like Goldman Sachs than Goldman Sachs.
Well, yeah, but that was These are all true events. You know,
I know.
Are you familiar with the segment?
Yes.
I do the show called Dave's Gone By.
I got it. Who's really old, and the guy from the Rolling Stones is falling out of palm trees.
I know, isn't it? It's true. Now, I'm going to get back to the Goldman Sachs sort of joke. One sec.
I'm waiting. I'm pins and needles.
Well, it's not going to be that funny now because of the build-up.
But that's okay because there's no one listening.
Well put. Okay.
If you say a bad joke, no one moans.
Yes, well, I do internally.
It's the sound of one hand clapping.
Wait, let's try that. Everybody hear that?
Oh, it's a wave.
Yeah, you can hear sort of.
No, it's a wave.
Ooh. Hi. Okay, let me do this. I have a lot to do in this show today. Let me get through this segment. Okay. By the way, lawyers are declining comment on the Goldman Sachs case, but it could put a chill on such other websites as Tiggy Bank and Boink of America. Thank you. That was
I like that.
Oh, I did like that. Oh, good. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. I'm now your Robin Quivers. I hate it.
It's the first joke you've laughed at since I've been telling them today. All right. Here we go. Let's try this one.
Sorry.
Ooh. All right. On the audience. Here you go.
I'll tell you.
On the fashion front, Naomi Campbell is being sued again. According to the Associated Press, another former employee is suing the supermodel for, quote, abusing her verbally and physically on three continents. Three continents? I'm sorry, but you figure after the second continent, the worker would have the brains to say, I quit. She would say, look, I took your crap in North America, and you threw a cell phone at me in South America. I really don't think this job is worth risking Antarctica. Bum bum! Cute, but not...
Antarctica, oh please.
Meanwhile, in fashion, Oscar de la Renta, Elisa Jimenez, and other big designers contributed to a special show in Toronto last week. The event had models wearing designer clothes made from fermented corn sugar. That's right. Apparently, there's a process that turns it into lactic acid, which is then turned into a wearable polymer. According to Reuters, the one-of-a-kind outfits included a strapless beige ball gown, a cream-colored baby doll dress, and a silver bustier. The best part was at the end, when the fermenting fumes got to the models, and they all became tipsy and started licking off their dresses. Come and think of it, that's always the best part, isn't it? What are you laughing at? They weren't male models. Anyway, sorry.
Now you're just being mean.
I know. It's a mean
But it's
day.
Okay, because no one's listening.
That's right.
Except your wife and your parents.
I have one potential listener in California, but she's dead now, so... And we'll talk about her later.
And the guy in Freeport who's listening for the country music
show. He's dead now, too.
Who's upset Tony Danza is now in his final repeats.
Well, yeah. Okay. Police in London. Let's try this one. Police in London have taken a tongue-in-cheek approach to cautioning women who go out and party at night. The safety campaign shows pictures of women slumped on the ground and wearing very short skirts. The advertisement warns that women in a state of intoxication might end up showing the world a little too much of what God gave them. The tagline is, if you've got it, don't flaunt it, which I think is cute. Although I'm disappointed they didn't choose my slogan, a beer in the hand is worth two in the bush, especially when both are open and dripping. Disgusting. Okay, you're grinning. You're holding it back, but you're grinning a little bit.
No,
that's nasty.
That was a Mamma Mia joke.
I don't get it.
It's one that's so stupid, it's funny.
Oh, I think your mic went off accidentally. No. Okay, speaking of booze, here's one that's too good to be true, but it is true. In May, Pete Coors, head of Molson Coors Beer, got a DUI. He was coming back tipsy from, oh my gosh, the comedy bell just also got kind of tipsy there. He was coming back from a wedding when cops pulled over his Jaguar, and they found his blood alcohol to be above the legal limit. Amazingly, in the car with him were a talking dog, six beach babes playing volleyball, a rock band, and a bunch of teenage surfers high-fiving each other. See, and you thought that only happened in commercials. Celebrity news. Congratulations to Ed McMahon of Tonight Show fame. Entertainment Weekly has named him the greatest all-time sidekick. No, Jeff, I'm sorry, you weren't on the list.
You're right, sir!
Now, Ed McMahon beat Batman's Robin, George Costanza, Ethel Mertz, and even Dr. Watson and Tonto. Not making the list, surprisingly, besides you, Jeff, was Dick Cheney, right-hand man to President Bush. Asked about the omission, the magazine said it was due to a subtle semantic shift. Cheney did not make the list of sidekicks. However, he came in first on the list of people we'd most like to kick in the side. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And you know who else was not in the list of sidekicks?
Other people who list? What? No.
No, the guy who was in the bathroom with George Michael.
Oh, thank you very much. That was more of a side yank. If you,
there you go.
There you go. Congratulations are also in order for Angela Magdaleno, the 40-year-old mother of quadruplets. Four babies that came 3 years after she had triplets. She and her husband now have 10 children in all. Now, the triplets were from in vitro fertilization, but the most recent four came as something as a surprise. And that is why, in the weeks ahead, Angela's husband, Alfredo, will be undergoing two new medical procedures, in vitro sterilization and in vitro capitalization, which is where a middle-class working man tries to grow multiple wallets. Okay.
Yeah. It was clever, though.
Clever, but not. It was not clever. Okay.
No, it's clever. Yeah, it would be good in print.
Thank you. Here's a news gone by brain teaser for you. Teaser brain time. Which came first, the Allah or the egg? Trick question. They both came together, if you believe Sunni Muslim residents of eastern Kazakhstan. According to the New York Post's beloved Weird But True column, the Muslims report a chicken in the remote village of Stepnoy has laid an egg with the word Allah inscribed on its shell in Arabic. Said a local farmer, quote, "Our mosque confirmed it. We'll keep the egg and we don't think it will go bad," unquote. Well, maybe the yolk's on them. But the only way to be sure is if they cook it. Of course, they have to do it Sunni side up. Yes! Yes! That is the exceptional sound of the comedy bell!
I like that one.
Signaling, see, that's why I saved the comedy bell for it. Yeah. The comedy bell doesn't come out for everything. And for the bad pun of the week. Whenever we do the news gone by on Dave's Gone By, we make a play on words so egg-scruciating, so oversleazy, that we scramble to ring the comedy bell. The
that
bell.
Excellent.
Thank you, sir. The bell that tells you why you should advertise your product, event, or service on Dave's Gone By. For very little money, you can bring your message to my listeners. Now, in 3.5 years, Dave's Gone By.
Three of them.
Has built a loyal audience, a loyal following of three people, two of them alive now.
Dave's parents and his wife.
Oh, and some Chinese people who make angry comments about the show. That, too. So advertise your product, event, or service to them on Dave's Gone
That's
By.
That's right.
For very little money.
Because Dave's parents have a lot of money.
Yeah, right.
Wife, not so much.
In 3.5 years, Dave, will you let me do a commercial? Don't go travel on my commerce here.
Okay.
In 3.5 years, Dave's Gone By has built a loyal following on the humor, the music, the sheer uniqueness of this program. And WGBB is a 1,000-watt radio station, well, usually, covering a big swath of Long Island, well, usually, with bits of other boroughs, too. And that's not counting the Internet, where Dave's Gone By streams live all over the world.
However, Dave, the Internet is for porn.
The Internet is for porn. Let me get through this! And that's not counting DFSXRadio.com, where the best of Dave's Gone By web streams every Saturday night. So, and it's also not counting the DavesGoneBy.org website, where your banner can also be part of the mix.
And it's also not counting the 4 or 5 people I tell about this show. And I mention, you know, mortgagesrock.com to them all the time.
And what
and the Minuteman Press, the Hewlett Minuteman Press.
And performingartsinsider.com.
No, that I never heard of.
You subscribe to it. Thank you, by the way, for that.
I'm one of the three subscribers. I now make four.
Actually, well, anyway, your one little advertisement, we're joking here, but your advertisement can go a long way on here. So if money's tight, you might want to try a 30-second ad for 13 weeks, see how it goes. If you want to make it egg-siding, go for a whole sponsorship package. Whichever you choose, the right choice is advertising on Dave's Gone By. Call 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511.
Was that 295-1511,
yeah.
295-1511. Why don't you write that down? Because I think I'm going to take an ad.
Well, you can also email me, you know. DavesGoneBy@AOL.com, and I'll send you the rate card. Or you can see the prices on the website, DavesGoneBy.org.
Is the price is right?
The price, we will find the right price for you if you want to advertise on Dave's Gone By. Ask not for whom else the comedy bell tolls. Make it toll for thee and thy product. 516-295-1511, or davesgoneby@aol.com. Don't be good, be punderful.
Or be good, man.
This is a song about vegetables. They keep you regular. They're real good for you.
Finally, in the news gone by horticulture, but can we make her think? A gardener in Houma, Louisiana, has accidentally crossbred a new food. This is true. He planted cucumbers too close to a row of cantaloupes, and the result was the world's very first cucalope. Yeah, did you see it on Regis and Kelly, Jeff?
Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
I really did.
This long, waxy yellow thing
and
with lumpy skin. They did. The inside of a cucalope apparently tastes like a less sweet cantaloupe or a more sweet cucumber. Now, the jury's still out on whether it's actually any good, although I have heard positive feedback about the cucanana. This happened in our own backyard. My wife crossed a cucumber and a banana, and I'd love to see it, but she never takes it out of the bedroom. And that's the news gone by for July 16th, 2006.
Oh, I'm sure she loved that one.
Please send your comments, opinions, and fermented panties to Dave's Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That's Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. We reserve the right to read your comments on the air, name withheld upon request, and our email is davesgoneby@aol.com. If I don't hear from you, I can't know what you think, what bits you like, what segments you hate, and what you want to hear more or less of.
And I'll know no one's listening.
Now, I'm not saying I would change anything, but I certainly read everything that comes through. And do let me know if you want to be on the show's weekly email list. And that is not sent to advertisers. There's no solicitation. It is only for fans of the show who want to know what's on tap in the weeks ahead. Again, all the info, the snail mail address, the email, it's all at davesgoneby.org. So, send us your letters, messages, postcards, packages, but please, no cucalopes. They just get squashed and leave me in a pickle. We'll be back after this.
And that was news, if that was news. That was very, very, very special news.
If I were a rich man,
if I were a rich man, I could do the Dave's Gone By show for years and years and never have to worry about money. But that's not the way things have worked out. So, I need your help. You can help me by helping yourself by advertising or sponsoring segments on Dave's Gone By. It's easy, it's cheap. Just go to davesgoneby.com and see the rate card, davesgoneby.com, and bring your message to my listeners and make us both rich.
Big tall house with a roof.
I've been telling you for months why you should use Hewlett Minuteman Press for all your copying and printing needs. But here's one of the owners, Mike Toron, to tell you why.
Hi, how you doing? At Minuteman Press, our ultimate goal is service. We are your best source for the most complete line of printed products. You can check us out on the web at www.hewlett.minutemanpress.com.
Well, thank you to the folks at Minuteman Press for sponsoring the show, even though it just says again and again, we don't have, but we actually have quite a few listeners, Jeff.
I was about Hewlett Minuteman Press, because I really like them.
They're cool.
Nice guys.
I've known them for a few years. They're a family-run business.
And what do they print?
Well, they print everything. What do you mean? What do they print? Oh, they print Performing Arts Insider, among
other
things. Oh,
that's
course.
Right. That's how I know about them. They do the best job on that little zine of yours.
It's a journal. But yeah.
Dave zine.
Oh, thank you, man. Anyway, we got to get a little bit... I hate to, but we got to get a little bit serious for a little while.
Aww.
Speaking of nice people, though, one of whom you know very well. Yeah, some dead people.
Actually, I met both of them.
You met Red Buttons, too? Okay, let's talk. Let me first introduce this by saying time to remember a couple of folks who died this week, Red Buttons and actor Barnard Hughes. So we'll start with Red, who was born Aaron Schwat.
What?
Schwat?
Schwat? Schwat?
He died July 13th. That was just a couple of days ago, of vascular disease. He made it to 87. Now, in the early days, Red was nicknamed, well, Red early on. He was called Irish because he had the red hair and the blue eyes. But what happened was he was a bellhop in a New York City tavern, one of his first jobs, and orchestra leader Dinty Moore christened him Red Buttons because of the jacket he was wearing. At least that's the apocryphal story told by Red.
That put him in a stew.
Oh. I wonder if did Dinty Moore, like, retire from orchestrating, and that's how we got Dinty Moore's stew?
And get the thumbprint on every can?
Yeah, well, yeah. That's his real thumb, and it's kind of gross.
It's big.
It's a skeleton now.
It's big. The can's that big.
Well, you know what they say about men with big thumbs, but anyway.
They're big cans of chili. Of the beast.
You see, these are the kinds of jokes I'm sure Red told at night, late night, at the Borscht Belt. There was a comic there in the 1930s. And here's a story that apparently is quite true. He was going to debut in a show on Broadway in 1941. It was directed by Jose Ferrer, and it was a comedy about Pearl Harbor. It just never quite made it to New York.
Bombed.
Because 3 months later, I mean, it was just totally wrong timing. But 1 year later...
Oh.
Buttons was on Broadway in Vicky in 1942. He did many Hollywood films, and he won a supporting role Oscar for Sayonara in 1958. He also had a TV show that made him one of the most popular people on TV in the mid-50s. He was named Best Comedian of 1953. He was in such movies as They Don't Shoot Horses, They Shoot Horses, Don't They? The Poseidon Adventure he was in. His last thing that I saw him in was about 10 years ago. He did a Broadway show called Buttons on Broadway, basically his act. It was cool. Even though he was working pretty much up to the end, except the last few months, he got an Emmy nomination last year for a supporting role on ER. So, Jeff, you met him and
oh, yeah, no, actually, it was very funny. It was the last Broadway show he did, and I took... Remember Trudy? From Trudy Who Doesn't Want Sex, But My Father Wants It? But down in Florida. Anyway.
So this is why you have to listen to the show week after week, because there's backstory, folks. Okay, yeah.
And
what about Trudy, yeah.
And we're not sure, but we're pretty sure Trudy doesn't like me.
Mm.
But she's getting to like
me. Well,
she's
the reason, but anyway.
And who doesn't? But anyway, we went to Red Buttons, and I said, you want to meet Red Buttons? She goes, oh, you know him. I said, no, but I was trying to get in.
Yeah.
So being the little conniver, I went backstage, and I said, do you know Mr. Buttons? Do you have an appointment? I said, no. But just tell him Jeff Goodman's here.
Well, it's such a generic name.
And he said, come on in. He goes, I don't know who you are. He goes, but you got Moxie. It was like, you got Moxie. I said something like that. He said, and he was the nicest man.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
He was so nice. He ordered, and my... Trudy was, like, happy with me for, like, the next 10 minutes.
Well, okay.
But he was...
Did he say anything funny, or was he just nice?
He was really nice, because he's pretty funny off stage, but he's very respectful.
Oh.
It's kind of like a Don Rickles thing, where on stage he's hilarious, but you just love him.
Wow.
You want to hug him and go, oh, button me, Red. You know? I don't know. But I thought his show was adorable. It was all about the stuff that we missed from his television show and stuff. He did all sorts of stuff, and he did, what was his famous thing?
Well, the song, and this is what I knew him from.
But it was a character. It was also a character.
Oh, don't confuse him with Red Skelton.
No, I know.
I hope he had a really... Well, if anybody knows, call 516... Oh, no, excuse me, 631-888-8811 is the station. But the reason I knew about him was also from my dad's and mom's record collection. They had the single that he did, the comedy number, called the Ho-Ho Song. And are you familiar with the Ho-Ho Song? Ho-Ho.
Oh, only when it's on 8th Avenue.
No,
Ho-Ho!
They don't have those hoes anymore, and they moved. Maybe they're on 9th Avenue.
Yeah, I think that's where they moved.
It was a pretty clean... It was actually... He did a lot of cleaning, right? Especially, that was his big calling card. It was his theme song on the TV show. It was, strange things are happening. These cute little things. And the tagline was, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. Strange things are happening all over the world. Well, couldn't be a more appropriate phrase for what's going on all over the world. And I figured as a tribute to Red Buttons and the way that the universe is spinning off on its axis this week, I thought I would... make my contribution and do my own version, the new version of the Ho-Ho Song, Stranger Things Are Happening. Let's listen. I fill up my gas tank, it costs me a lot of loot. Each time I see the nozzle, I want to cry, don't shoot. Ho, ho, hee, hee, ha, ha. Strange things are happening. Osama bin Laden, oh, where in the world is he? The CIA can't find him, though he's always on TV. Ho, ho, hee, hee, ha, ha. Strange things are happening. I saw the final World Cup, France beaten by Italy. Zidane beat Materazzi, why anyone cares beats me. Ho, ho, hee, 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 ha, 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 ha. Strange things are happening. I think it's amazing when NASA sends men to space. But here's the biggest miracle, the Mets are in first place. Ho, ho, hee, hee, ha, ha. Strange things are happening. I live on Long Island, a quiet suburban street. My house is worth a million, but I can't afford to eat. Ho, ho, hee, hee, ha, ha. Strange things are happening. There's terror, death, and famine, and countries that are war-torn. I'd like to make a difference, but I'm busy surfing porn. Ho, ho, hee, hee, ha, ha. Strange things are happening, yeah. If I say the F word, I'm fined by the FCC. $300,000, now that's obscenity. Ho, ho, hee, hee, ha, ha. Strange things are happening.
I like it so much better when you don't work blue. I liked it. I thought it was nice.
It's oh,
really
nice.
I thought it was a really nice tribute. And clever.
And thank you. You weren't laughing as well.
No, it's not gloriously funny, but no. It's clever, and I liked it. It's well, nice.
The whole also wasn't
and
gloriously
not,
clever
and you're not
either,
making me, you know, make fun of dead people, so it's good.
Well, that comes. Well, we're doing that now, because we have another dead person to remember, not make fun of, but just to
we
honor.
We could never make fun of Da.
Of Barnard Hughes. Barnard Hughes died. He actually died 3 days before his 91st birthday, born on July 16th, 1915. Oh. And died also same day as Rocky Buttons. Tony Winger for Da, and he played Doc on TV. They had a concert there.
That's right.
He was acting on Broadway since 1934.
He was also the original old man in Prelude to a Kiss.
Yes, he was.
Oh,
I remember that. No, cool. I'm, you know, I try and get the bio out of the way, but that was, I think, the last time I saw him live, except going to the theater. He would go with his wife all the time, Helen Stenborg. She survived him. She's still around.
Yeah.
And they were an adorable couple.
She's now 106, of course.
I think he was older than she. It was like a Jung Cronin kind of thing. And his movies, by the way, I was looking at these, and I'm like, he was such a good character actor that you know him, of course, and yet you don't really... Oh, he was in Cold Turkey. He was in Midnight Cowboy. And he was in Cradle with Rock. A very good movie. Tim Roth. What's his name?
Blitzstein?
Yeah, but the movie they made of his a couple of years ago. The oh,
I don't know.
What's her name's husband? Anyway, good movie. Check it out.
Oh, what's
Sarandon's husband? But, you know, the filmmaker, actor. Anyway, you also knew or met Barnard Hughes?
Yeah. Well, I meet all these people because I like to hang around Broadway, and I used to like to go to backstage. And I'd wait for him, and he's a little teeny guy, and I did see him go to the theater. He's a very short man.
Mm-hmm.
He did have somewhat of an Irish accent.
Oh, really? I remember. Yeah. Okay.
And he was just lovely. He couldn't be nicer. He was like one of those. These guys come from an era when actors weren't like really stuck up. They were really happy for that. They were really thankful for their fans. Right. They weren't trying to hide from everyone. You know, they were like when Julia Roberts was on Broadway. I mean, really, everyone came to see that awful play just for her. And then what she did is the police were there with the big lines, and you had her limo there, and
she'd sign anything or no?
She'd wave, and I mean, throngs, they couldn't get him out of the street. And she'd like wave. I don't know if she saw him. Maybe she saw him a couple of days. But she'd just run into her limousine. Mm-hmm. Or my favorite one is John Ritter, who told me he'll be right back to sign my playbill, then ducked in his car and ran away.
Oh, that was mean.
And I said, oh, I thought you were nice. And now he's dead. So see what happens when you don't sign my playbill.
That's right. Good, well, yeah. See, now John Ritter's in a different place from Barnard Hughes and Red Buckley.
No, I'm sure John Ritter was a good guy. He just didn't, I wouldn't send him to hell for that.
Really? Limbo.
No. John Ritter can go in heaven, but I give him a little Jewish guilt. And he, next time, he better think about signing those playbills.
Mm-hmm.
And as for all you actors out there, think about not signing playbills as you come out of the stage door.
That would be his penance in limbo. He would have, like, this line of a million people, and he'd have to sign one after the other, you know, with little breaks, and when he got to a millionth person, then he could get to heaven.
Well, you know, maybe, like, God would just sit there and go, you know, you can come here, but we're not going to give you ice cream because you didn't sign Joe Goodman's
No, even better. After, like, that millionth person, he signs the thing, and then he gets to the gate, and he wasn't Jewish, so he goes and St. Peter's at the gate. And he's like, okay, welcome, look, but you got to sign in. And his hand is so crippled and cramped that he can't because he just signed a million autographs, so he's stuck right outside the gates of heaven for eternity because he can't uncramp his hand to sign one more signature.
Or St. Peter can say, sign your name. He signs John Ritter, and they go, who are you?
Ooh.
Never like heard of you. Three is what?
Well, let me say that. The one other person who died this week.
By the way, Barnard Hughes also was really, he was really beloved in the theater community, and they did dim the lights on Monday for him.
Oh, good.
For a minute at 8 o'clock. So,
well, I think that was, that really
that put,
made
but
a
he
special
did
thing.
So much. He worked in, even when he was famous, he worked in way off-Broadway. He was always good to help out a good theatrical cause.
Cool.
But who else died this week?
Oh, well, you put it that way. My cousin Karen, she died of cancer. Yay! Thanks for the song.
I hope
dude.
You don't have a cousin Karen.
Yeah, no, this is true. I wanted to spend the last couple of minutes of the show.
You're going
to
make fun of your cousin
Karen? I'm
not going
to make fun of her. I'm going to tell people about her because she was pretty amazing.
Your parents are listening, for God's sake,
yeah.
And no one else.
They've already turned me off. They know better. Anyway, but I want to do a couple of more little bits of business here, and then we'll go back and talk about a really extraordinary person. Was very sad to lose this week, my cousin Karen.
Aww.
On Dave's Gone By. We'll be right back.
Aww.
Dave's Gone By listeners know I love a good play on words. But let me say a good word on plays, my plays, collected in a lovely book called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Comedies that range from strange to deranged, from sad to satirical, fun to read, and unmistakably Dave. Just $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Put down that crappy bestseller and pick up some laughs. 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby.com. I need more Dave! Oh, I hear that all the time. Once a week is not enough, but you can get all the Dave you want on CD. Dozens of complete episodes, just $14 per disc, shipping and handling included. Add one more dollar for a personal autograph. Dave's Gone By CDs come with jewel cases, photos, liner notes, makes a great gift. So, for more info, check our website or email davesgoneby@aol.com and ask for the CD list. Thanks, Dave!
Hi, everybody. This is Tom Paxton, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Yes, and you are listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB. Welcome back. First, before we get to anything else, I want to thank you, Hewlett Minuteman Press, for being wonderful sponsors. Thanks to MortgagesRock.com and to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. And I want to tell everybody, if you're planning a party or a bar mitzvah or a wedding, fancy schmancy, they do that kind, they do not just balloons, but the whole kind of schmear, the whole spread of big parties.
Centerpieces and beautiful decorations that the folks will talk about for years to come.
How can they contact Fancy Schmancy Balloons, Jeff?
They could just think about it and I'll call them. No. Think fancy thoughts.
And dial
516-797-3229.
One more time.
That's 516-797-3229. 32 29.
Okay, thank you, Jeff, and thank you to my wonderful wife, Joyce, also, who, by the way, played that fantastic tambourine on the new Ho Ho song. I know you're all going to be queuing up outside Tower Records to get it tomorrow.
She's on her way to the Partridge Family, being the little girl in the Partridge Family.
Everybody, remember to catch a Vintage Dave episode Saturday nights at 11 on DFSX. You can listen on the web through my website at davesgoneby.org. And as I said at the top of the show, catch my two-hour blues set on WUSB-FM, archived on their website, but again, you can get there through mine. Now, I've got a couple of minutes left, and I do want to just do a little bit of a tribute and a memory to a wonderful cousin who passed this week, Karen Rosemarin. She was 58 years old. I thought she was a little bit older, and she had been sick in so many ways for so many years that she was the one who should have died literally 25 years ago. Something would always come, there would be a tumor, there would be something horrible wrong with her. She'd go for surgeries and brain scans and CAT scans and chemotherapy and hydrate and every possible therapy. And every single time, we think, oh, you know, it's really bad for Karen this time. And then half a year later, she'd show up in New York, you know, go with family things, and she'd be Karen. Granted, for the past 15 years, maybe 20, she's been legally blind, which would slow down and stop a lot of people. It may even be longer than that. While she was blind, she would go skiing. She would be part of the Olympic things, you know, for I don't want to use the word handicap, but that kind of Olympic stuff.
The Special Olympics, right?
Is that for blind people as well? Mm-hmm. I keep thinking of it as for, like, the weird cripple and window licker folks. No,
it's for disabled.
It's differently abled people. And one of the cool things was for reading and stuff. A few years ago, all she figured she had was Braille, or she could go to the Library of Congress and listen to these albums that they had that were all scratchy and hard to listen to.
Where did she live?
Oh, she was in California for the past few years. And so eventually cassettes came out, and that was great. She could listen to books on cassette, but it was pricey. She found a store that sold audiobooks. This is only a couple of years ago, when she was already very sick and blind. She loved the idea. The store closed. She opened one of her own called Books Out Loud in Berkeley, California. I think it's still there, still operating. She founded it. And it seemed it was one of those, and she's one of those people. The store is environmentally friendly. Even the covers of everything are recycled. And if you do a Google search on her name, Karen Rosemarin, R-O-S-M-A-R-I-N, there's no E in the Rose, you'll find her name on all these charities, Amnesty International, Grassroots International, which unfortunately seems to be pro-Palestinian, but, you know, Karen was out there on the left, Environment California. I want to give condolences to her husband, Greg, a wonderful guy, and built like a mountain man. He's an amazing fella, and he met because they were on the phone. He was either an operator or something, or was working for an audio blind thing, and they just hit it off and they met. Condolences also to Karen's sister Lori and to her brothers Peter and Jeffrey. And the main thing that I remember her for is that we kind of grew up in some ways together, because I lived in Brooklyn with my folks in an apartment, grew up there on Ocean Parkway, and Karen and her husband lived down the hall in another apartment, and they were hippies, which was kind of amazing. I mean, I came from such a straight-laced kind of middle-class Jewish background, and that people in my families were, like, walking barefoot and wearing sandals and tie-dye shirts. It was astonishing to me and to the rest of my family. So, you know, that was pretty wild. And the great thing was they were with us for a long time. They became friends. And then they decided to move off to California, which was a more apt place for her. And when they were leaving, you know, they were kind of upset that I would be losing folks I'd gotten very close to, and they gave me part of her record collection, or their record collection. And I treasured those albums, and this was before I was really listening to a lot of rock and roll. So through her, through the albums that I treasured, was Dylan's Greatest Hits Volume 1, Jimi Hendrix Smash Hits, Steppenwolf, The Doors' first album, Big Brother and the Holding Company, The Rolling Stones' Through a Glass Darkly with the octagonal cover. So, you know, in Karen's honor, and I have one or two more stories to tell. I guess I'll save them for next week. But I want to go out with a very appropriate song for this week, The Doors' The End, just because things are so bleak. And also it's off that album, one of those albums that just changed my life, thanks to my cousin Karen. So I will be back next week, hopefully a much happier week and a much more sane week for everyone. And I'll be here with the 181st edition of Dave's Gone By. Jeff is, may be hearing me. He's going to Vegas for a couple of days this week. That's pretty cool.
To Vegas tomorrow morning. Thanks for mentioning it.
Have a wonderful trip. Enjoy.
You know, wish me luck.
Any thieves, Jeff is not going to be there for the next 4 days.
Come to my house. No problem. You could steal all the balloons you want.
So until next Sunday, when I'll be here, maybe Jeff will be here with more of Dave's Gone By. Don't miss your days going by. Good night. Goodbye, Karen. And gone by.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end, no safety.